say the game is getting old. Monday morning and your coffee's cold. Life is not what you want.
Hello everyone and welcome to A New Direction. My name is Jay Izzo and oh man, do we have another great show for you. I'm just telling you, this is a great show. Listen, here's the deal. All right, okay. Many of you know that, yes, I'm a coach, but I public speak. I get paid to speak. I guess that makes me a professional speaker. Get paid to do it, right? And I get to do it, and I love doing it. But here's the thing. Having people come into studio, sometimes because I have another show, and sometimes when I'm with other folks and I talk about public speaking with them, and I've always said, you know, for myself personally, there's never been a stage too small or too big because I just love being on stage. But I talk to people and they go, ooh, you speak in front of people? Oh my gosh, how can you do that? I'd be scared to death to speak in front of people. I can't do that. I don't, no way, I couldn't. I'm like, oh, well, you're speaking to me now. Right? But I get it. You know, in my work as a psychological professional, you know, amongst the stressors, and they've outlined about 100 to 200 stressors, you know, speaking in front of public is actually really high. Matter of fact, some have said, I think it was Jerry Seinfeld who correctly said it, you know, did you know that more people are afraid to speak in public than they are afraid of dying? Which means that more people would rather be in the casket than do the eulogy. And I think that may be true on some level. But folks, here's the deal. I have got Coach Peter George with me, who wrote this absolutely best-selling book, The Captivating Public Speaker. And folks, I want to tell you something. As a professional, this book is the bomb when it comes to speaking books. If you want to learn how to become a great public speaker, you need this book. If you want to be better in your training, you need this book. If you want to be better in your conversations with people, you need this book. If you want to be a better educator because you're a teacher in school, you really need this book. If you are a CEO who leads meetings, you need this book. This book is not just a book for the professional public speaker. This is a book for anyone who speaks to people. I guess that would include you, wouldn't it? So we're going to get to Peter George in just a second. Before we do that, let's do what we do every week, right? And that's this. We check in into four areas of your life for physical, mental, emotional, spiritual people. And the fact of the matter is we got to be working on our training, you know, because if we're not working on our training, what happens is we're not growing. And if we're not growing, as we learn from the Special Operations Forces people that have been on the show, we're dying, right? So here's how it works. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being my training is awful, 10 being my training is awesome, right? How would you rate yourself in your physical area? And that includes exercise, eating right, getting enough sleep, drinking enough water. By the way, you know what? I can promise you that Coach Peter George would tell you, if you want to be a great public speaker, you know what? Get in shape, eat right, drink enough water, get enough sleep. It's in the book. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself, right? 5 being average. Don't worry about whatever that number is, because the truth of the matter is, right? Whatever that number is, that's your starting point. And we can build from there. All right. So what's the number? Okay. Got it. Okay. That's your first number. Second number is the intellectual mental number, right? Now, remember, we got two halves of a brain. Right brain's creative. Left brain is logical, right? But you can't be on the couch, being a couch potato, just thinking that information is going to come at you. You have to be an active participant in your learning and growing and knowledge. You know, it's so interesting. Some people think that once they become a professional, there's no more to learn. Not true. What are you doing? You know what's a great thing to do? Read a book. Learn, take up a new instrument. Learn a foreign language. Those things exercise your brain. Read things to make you better. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say you're doing? All right, that's your second number. Your third number is the emotional number, right? And we make it really simple on the show because we could talk about emotional quotients and emotional intelligence forever. But the truth of the matter is come down to two things. One, how well are you able to control your emotions under pressure and stress? And then secondly, how well are you able to tap into the emotions of other people and understand them? Okay, you got a number there, but I just want to tell you something about speaking because actually it's really coincidental. No, it's not coincidental. It's just, he just is that good. So what Coach Peter George talks about in the book is that, you know what? You have to tap into the emotions in your audience. Now, he didn't say this in the book this way, but I will say it. When I go public speak, I'd like to tap into the psychographic of the audience, which includes their emotional state, right? I think that's just critical, right? Understanding the emotions of the people are so critical. So how would you say you're doing there? Okay, you got your score? All right, good. That's three. Fourth one is the spiritual area. And, you know, people will say, oh, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in spiritual stuff. We're all spiritual. Remove the physical, the mental, the emotional. What you have left is your spiritual self. There is a spirit inside of us that it wills us to do things that we would never do. Matter of fact, it takes something inside of you, I believe, to stand up in front of people. I think that's your will. I think it's part of your spirit. It's your part of your desire, right? It's your wind. It is your breath that you do to type of thing. And to get up and do those type of things, right? We see people do extraordinary things that they wouldn't otherwise do. I believe that's a spiritual thing. I also believe we live by faith, right? You woke up this morning, you grabbed your cup of coffee, you took a sip of it, and you believed it wasn't poison. you put your key in your car, you turned it forward, it turned on because you had faith that it was going to turn on. You walked off the curb. The sign said walk. You walked off, and you had faith that people would honor the stop sign. It's all faith. And then the question becomes, you know, how's that working for you? And is it transforming you? Right? Whether it's God or nature or meditation, whatever it is it transforming you into a better person each day? Those four areas, like the, whatever that number is, the four areas are like the air in the tires of your car. If the air is low in one tire, what happens? The car veers. Doesn't run right. If all the tires are too low, you can ruin the rims or do much more damage to the car. And our goal here is to, right, get our tires to the right level. And speaking of someone who's got his tires all filled up in the right level and his car is running smooth, his name is Peter George. He is award-winning author, public speaking coach, speaker, podcast host. Peter helps people of all industries and professions develop dynamic public speaking skills. Through his proven methods, he is able to help aspiring and professional speakers and anybody consistently and confidently deliver compelling presentations that resonate with the and benefit their audiences. He's also the creator and founder of the AMPT framework. We're going to talk about that. An easy-to-follow system based on the magical blend of art and science that produces engaging talks and captivating speakers. You can learn more about Peter by going to his website, which is www.petergeorgepublicspeaking.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, and welcome to the first time, and my guess is not the last time, Peter George. Peter, welcome to A New Direction.
Hey, Jay, pleasure to be here. And if I wasn't amped and psyched up before, I sure am now.
Well, good. I'm glad to have you with us. The book is outstanding. What we do on this show is we dig right into it. So let's go ahead and do that right now. One of the things that you come right out of the blocks with us, and by the way, I want to let people, is you talk about the 10 myths of public speaking. But before I get too much far, I just want to say that if people purchase this book, here's one of the things that you learn right away in chapter one, is there's a free companion worksheet, actually worksheets that are available for download. He has a QR code in the book, and these worksheets are powerful. They will help you as a speaker, and I don't want to forget that, but you need to know that this book has got a great code for you to be working on that. You talk about the 10 myths of public speaking.
Yes.
And right out of the blocks. And there are a lot of myths. I think we should cover some of them. And I'm not going to necessarily take them in order. I hope that's okay. But I thought some of them are funny because I know them and some of them are not. One of them, though, is I remember people telling me early on trying to say, you need to picture people in your underwear. Why is that a myth?
I'm not even sure where that comes
from. I don't
from.
Either.
And truthfully, do you really want to picture people in their underwear? And if you're trying to do that, how much can you concentrate on engaging the audience, on delivering your message in a way that resonates with them so it benefits them? I don't believe you can do both. And again, I'm not sure why anybody would want to sit there and try to picture a collective audience in their underwear.
I don't know why. It never made sense to me that we would that people would ever say that to you. Here's one right next to it that I think is also really one that is a true myth. Only extroverts are good speakers.
That's very much a myth. If you want to talk about introverts, you're talking to one now.
Mm.
I'm a huge introvert, card-carrying introvert. And we have our strengths just like extroverts do. They're different strengths. And in some ways, they're more effective for public speaking. And if you look at some of the great introverts over time, you'd be surprised who they are, including people like Steve Jobs, who might have been the most effective business presenter we've seen in generations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Okay, here's one. I've heard this before. I never subscribed to this myth because it sounded ridiculous to me, but I do know people who've done this. Drink alcohol before you speak helps.
Yeah, that doesn't help at all. Doesn't help at all. Few reasons, but let me ask you this, Jay. God forbid you have to go in for surgery.
Right.
And you're laying there on the table, and before the anesthesiologist plugs you in and knocks you out, you hear your surgeon say to the lead nurse, "Wow, you know, this one's going to be a little iffy. I'll knock back a couple of shots of vodka, and then I'll get started. Calm my nerves." Would you expect that?
No.
No, of course not. It's silly. Why would we do that as speakers?
You know what? It's so funny, and yet, you know, I have seen that done. When I have been out speaking, I've actually seen people go, "Yeah, I'm gonna take a shot before I go out. I'm on the, you know, I'm gonna get a shot of bourbon or whatever it is before I go out." And I'm like going, "No way! How do you do that?" I'm more astounded. So like, how can you do that? Because I'm like going, I want to be so clear, right? I want to have clarity of thought because I like to, you know, in my talks, I like to, you know, leave room because sometimes something happens in the middle of a talk where all of a sudden the ideas that I just didn't think about happen inside of my head and they're better than what I originally had planned. And I like to have those available to me. And I know that if I was to have alcohol, there's no way I would have that clarity.
No. And think about our contract with our audiences, contract, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me to provide information, but not provide information, truly transform that audience.
Mm.
Don't speak to inform, speak to transform.
Mm.
And if I'm going to transform that audience by giving information in a way that it'll benefit them, that'll resonate with them, that'll engage them, if I drink alcohol, and it's not like I don't drink alcohol.
Right,
you know,
right,
you
right.
Know, in a social setting,
right,
I do.
Right.
But if I drink alcohol before doing that, how keen am I in my ability to achieve all those things that I've contracted with that audience?
Yeah.
And we contract that just by me being on stage and them showing up.
Right, right. Yeah, you're so true. Here's the last one I want to talk about. And this is so good. You have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. If you had to be perfect to get up on stage and speak, I wouldn't be there.
Yeah, right?
You know,
neither would I.
None of us would.
Yeah.
None of us would.
Yeah.
You don't have to be perfect. You do have to be prepared. You do have to willing to let your ego go and not make it about you, but make it about the audience and how you're going to transform and benefit them. But, you know, if I was talking to someone, this would be a great example. I was talking to a prospect yesterday, and she was talking about wanting to be perfect. Mm. And I said, but you've got to understand when you get up in front of people and present, you're there to help them in some way.
Mm.
Even if it were in a business setting, you might be in a sales meeting. You're helping your salespeople sell better, close better, inform and help the prospect better. And I said, if I was drowning and you threw me a lifeline, I wouldn't question you whether that was a perfect rope.
Mm. Right.
As long as it's enough to get me where I need to go on that boat.
Right. Boy, that's a great illustration. Such a beautiful. See, this is why you're so good. This is so good. So let's go into starting with the fundamentals, because I think, which is chapter two, and I think it's really important that we start there, because even as a seasoned professional speaker, the fundamentals of speaking are really, really important, because even professional athletes practice. So maybe one of the things we should start with, and this is a subtitle that you have, public speaking is what?
You're asking me what public speaking is?
Yeah, yeah. You have here public speaking is, you have this subheading. It says public speaking is dot, dot, dot. And you say it's a, and you go conversation.
That's all it is. That's all it is. It doesn't make a difference if you're conversing with one person across a desk, 10 people in a conference room, or 1,000 people in an auditorium. You're having a conversation. Mm. Now, a lot of us will say, well, that's not true. I'm the only one speaking. And that may be, but there's still a conversation going on. Your audience is still thinking. They're still responding, or at least should be, to what you're saying, what you're asking. And asking questions is a great way to keep people engaged. But there is a conversation going on. For some reason, when we hear the word present, I have to present, I have to do a presentation, all of a sudden we take it out of the category of a conversation and make it into something. We try to make it into something that it's not.
Mm.
It is merely a conversation. One-to-one, by the way.
Right.
Always one-to-one. I don't care how many people are sitting there. Speak to one person as if you're speaking to one person, so it resonates with them. And the person next to them, it resonates with them. So you speak to one person in your mind, but it resonates with each person individually.
But isn't this is the thing that I found fascinating about reading this book. By the way, we're with Peter George, best-selling author, The Captivating Public Speaker. Here's one thing that crossed my mind as I'm reading the book, is that if you're in sales and there's just one person across from you, there's your audience, right? I mean, everything I read in this book applied to if I was to try to even make a sales presentation. Would you not agree?
100%. A presentation, a conversation, it's the same no matter how many people you're speaking to. Little things differ. If I'm in front of 1,000 people and I don't have a 30-foot screen next to me, well, my gestures have to be bigger so the people in the back row can see the gesture.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, right,
But the way I'm connecting with them, communicating, engaging them, is exactly the same if I had one people, three people, 10 people in front of me.
I know this is a little off topic, but I think this is the connection I really want the listener to make here, is that we're all public speakers, regardless of what your industry is. We're all speaking in public. If you're in sales, you're a public speaker. If you're a CEO, you're a public speaker. If you're a manager, public speaker, right? Did I miss that? But isn't that true?
100% true.
Right? All right, so
if you're speaking to anybody, including a spouse or significant other, but let's cut that. That's getting really down into the weeds. But if you go to work, if you converse with a colleague, anyone like that, in a situation like that, you're public speaking.
Mm. I just think that's just a critical mindset that people need to have. You say speaking is a blend of art and science. What do you mean by that?
It's an art. A lot of people say, well, don't call it a performance. It's not a performance, because they believe that gets rid of authenticity. It is a performance. I have to use my hands because people connect with hands on an unconscious level. See, when we think about presenting, we often think about the conscious level, what I'm saying and the like. But our voice and our body language is read on an unconscious level.
Right.
So if I'm not performing in some way, if I'm not using my hands to illustrate something that's large or small or moving quickly or just plodding along, will my message still get across? Yes. Will it be acknowledged and remembered in the unconscious level? Maybe not. So there is a little bit of performance. That's the art. And that does not decrease the level of authenticity. we have multiple levels of authenticity. Me getting stopped by the police or driving my sports car a little too quickly, there's a particular authentic me at that point, and that's yes, sir, no, sir, please don't give me a ticket, sir. You know, totally authentic, trying to get out of a ticket. When I met my in-laws for the first time, that wasn't the same authentic me sitting home watching a football game in my underwear holding a beer. So there are different authentic us's.
Yes.
For particular occasions. So that's the art. That's the performance side. And I will disagree with anybody who says, no, public speaking is not a performance. It is.
It is.
The science is we communicate not only on that conscious level, but also the unconscious level.
Mm.
What are people reading from our stance? What are they reading from our hands, our facial expressions? And people say, well, that's subconscious. Nope, that's not all on the unconscious level. Mm. Because if you told me, Peter, you just raised your eyebrows. I did? I can't recall that. So that's unconscious level. Mm-hmm. Subconscious is something I can recall.
Right.
So we communicate on the unconscious level, and our brain has to. Our brain has been, since the human beings have been around, our brains look at the unconscious level to keep us safe. 6 times a second, so scientists say,
mm-hmm.
to keep us safe. I'm reading your body language walking down the street coming at me. You're reading my body language.
Right.
Happens all the time. We just don't notice it.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful stuff, Peter. His name's Peter George. The book is entitled The Captivating Public Speaker. Engage, impact, and inspire your audience every time. You're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, listen, Epic Physical Therapy, my physical therapist, I think they should be yours too. Whether recovering from injury, surgery, suffering everyday aches and pains, maybe you're a professional athlete, you just want to perform better, listen, the elite team at Epic PT will provide you with a customized treatment plan tailored for you. It's not EPT in a box. Listen, when you're ready for your epic relief, your epic recovery, your epic results, just go to epicpt.com. That's E-P-I-C. PT.com. And Linda Craft Team Realtors, for more than 37 years, they have been helping people make a transition. Whoa, I thought you said they were realtors. Yeah. See, that's the thing. They, when it comes to real estate, it's not about buying and selling homes. Think about it. Every place you've ever lived has been a transition in life. And that's what they really do, is they help people in their next transition in life. So when you're selling your home or buying your next home, and you're about to make that life transition, start with Linda Craft Team Realtors. That's lindacraft.com. It's LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with Peter George, Coach Peter George, Peter George the speaker, Peter George the podcaster, Peter George the best-selling author, and his book, The Captivating Public Speaker. Peter, let's keep digging here into your book, because it's just such a good book, and I really, really like it. Public speaking is sharing your mind, heart, and soul, is what you say. Talk to us about that.
It is. Public speaking, like I said before, is not to get there to inform. We can all inform. Mm. But you know what? We can inform with a PDF.
Mm-hmm.
We can inform with an email. Jay, have you ever been in a meeting that you walked out of and you said, I'll never get that hour back?
How many? I don't know how many hours I can't get back, Peter.
Yeah, they've done studies about how long we sit in commuter traffic. I believe they should do studies about how long we sat in meetings that shouldn't have been.
Yes,
you know, you walk out and go, my God, Peter could have just sent an email with a PDF. It would have been better than wasting this hour. We're there to transform people. If you go to a meeting, sales meeting, whatever it might be, a conference where someone's speaking on stage, if you don't walk out differently then you walked in, why did this take place?
Mm.
No reason in the world. And it could even be a comedian. Comedians transform us. Mm. They make us laugh for a while. They give us things, even in their funny way, sometimes to think about. But we've got to be transformed. You've got to have, as a speaker, to make that happen, your heart, your soul, your mind, all has to be in there.
Mm.
You're there to serve. You know, it's cool. Hey, I'm up on stage. I've been speaking on stage for 35 years. I'm up on stage. This is awesome. People came to see me. I'm in the spotlight. Aren't I cool?
Mm.
Well, Jay, as we were talking before we came on, I said to you, the only person in the world who cared about it was me up on stage was my mom, and she's been gone for 19 years. So You know, my wife is even bored after 30 some odd years, and she's my best friend. She's bored of seeing me speak. We're there to serve people. It's not about us. We have to get over that. It's about us. It's about the audience each and every time and how you make their life different.
Beautiful. You say public speaking is not about remaining in your comfort zone. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, everybody says you got to get out of your comfort zone. And I do believe that, that you've got to stretch yourself. I don't believe you have to do something cold, which a lot of people do say, just go do this. I believe you should be prepared to do that most of the time, if not all the time. But it's not about you being comfortable. It's about the audience being comfortable. You'll see a pattern here soon, Jay, that just about everything goes back to it's about the audience. So we're as much, I tease my clients after I've worked with them for a little while. I said, isn't it funny that I get to tell you it's not about you? I also take your money to do that, but take your money and then say, it's not about you. Yeah, and truthfully, they love that. It takes the onus off of us as speakers.
Yeah.
The weight's not on our shoulders anymore. I'm just there to help people.
Right.
And as long as I'm prepared to do that, and I'm not wasting their time, then how can I do that wrong?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Chapter 3 is entitled Harness Your Energy, Channel Your Unsettled Nerves into Positive Energy. Let's just talk about a few of these, how to manage your nerves. Step one you have is understand that your physiological response is normal. Talk about that a little bit.
100%. We all go through the same thing. There's a reason I can stand in a room of 100 people and say, raise your hand if when you're about to speak, your heart feels like it's going to thump out of your chest. Your blood pressure goes up. You can actually feel it in your cheeks, your blood rising. You sweat. And maybe not every single one of those will happen to you, but most people go, yep, that, yep, yep. No, not that one, but yep, yep, that one. It's because it happens to all of us. Mm-hmm. It's an adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm. It really
is.
But
here's the difference, Jay. Let's say you love the very dramatic roller coasters that we have now, flipping upside down, rolling, and everything else. And let's say I don't. And you say, Peter, let's go on the roller coaster. We're going to go very closely through the same response. You're going to be excited. You're going to get an adrenaline rush. So your heart's going to pump. Your blood pressure is going to go up. You're going to get sweaty. Your mind becomes incredibly keen about what's happening around you. You know what's going to happen to me? Exactly the same thing. Except you label that adrenaline rush as this is awesome. I label it as fear. It's how we label it that matters. Everybody's going through the same thing. That response is just adrenaline. And we want adrenaline. I have people come to me and say, please get rid of this feeling. The last thing you ever, ever, ever want to do is get rid of that feeling. No differently than the athlete who says, once that feeling's gone, I'm done.
Yeah, true. I'm just speaking anecdotally here. I want to feel that the pit of my stomach is starting to turn a little. You know, I want that feeling. Matter of fact, if I don't get it, it scares me to not have it.
Oh, yeah. What's wrong?
Yeah,
what's wrong that you're not getting that feeling?
Yeah, there's something wrong if I don't feel a little bit of this. And it's a good thing. It's something I've relabeled as like, oh, okay, it's not fear. It's, you know, it's my desire to perform well. It's my desire to, you know, make sure that the audience gets what they need. You know, have I included all that they need? Are they going to have some sort of life transformation as a result? And you start to concern yourself with all of that. And then you want to be excellent, right? And so
exactly.
Right? And it's just a different way. Which leads me to step two, which you say, reset your mindset.
Yeah, you know, we say, oh my God, I got to do this. My boss told me I have to do this presentation next week. Or someone asked me to speak up on stage at a community event. And I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this. I got to do it. Oh my God, I wish I didn't have to do it. Get out of the mindset that you have to do it. Get into the mindset that you get to do it.
Right. Yeah.
You didn't win a lottery. when someone asks you to present, whether it's at work or elsewhere, you didn't win a lottery to do that. You earn the right to do that. They respect you. They appreciate you, how you help people, whatever it might be. You earn the right. It's not that I have to do a presentation. I get to do a presentation. If your dream was to bat at Yankee Stadium and that dream came through, they granted you one opportunity to go up to bat at Yankee Stadium, you wouldn't be saying, if that was your dream, oh my God, I got to do this. You'd be saying, how did I ever get the opportunity to do this? This is fantastic. Now, a curveball coming at you after a 93-mile-an-hour fastball, seeing the difference in that, would you make a swing that would make you look foolish? Probably. But you still got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah, you talked a little bit about, and I so agreed with you on this, you got to change your self-talk from the negative to the positive to get that reset. Because, I think oftentimes, and as you've stated in the book, that we sometimes have gotten to such a negative mindset, we haven't reframed it in our own head.
Yeah, it's human nature to go negative first. That's your brain, again, trying to protect you. But so many of us say, I'm not a good speaker. Well, that's a negative mindset. Mm. You might say, I'm not a good speaker yet, or I will soon be a good speaker. Or even better than that, I'll learn how to engage my audience to benefit them. Mm. When you look at the positive side, then positive things happen.
Mm. Mm.
It just does.
Yeah.
I don't think there's science to it, and I'm sure maybe researchers will tell you there is in your brain. I just think your mindset matters, how you look at things, how you look at life, how you look at circumstances.
Mm. Actually, there is research that the brain chemistry changes with our positive thinking. So the
makes perfect sense.
Yeah, the 5,000 chemicals that run through the synaptic clefts in between, when we think positively, it changes how those chemicals actually operate in between those, 100 billion neurons that we have. And so it aligns us in a way. So it's absolutely true. Step three, which is relative to take the weight off your shoulders, is what you said. Stop focusing on yourself.
Yeah, like I said, it's not about you. It's about the audience and how you can help them. So, of course, you're involved. But take that weight off and concentrate not on if you look great, if you sound great, if everything's going 100% smoothly. Concentrate on connecting with that audience as individuals.
Mm.
So each one of those people leave thinking, wow, how did she know to talk directly to me? I don't know what these other 99 people think, because she was talking directly to me. They must have been totally disengaged.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the vast majority of that other 99 are sitting there saying, wow, she was talking just to me. Take it off your shoulders. Make it about the audience.
Beautiful.
Life speaking that way, so much better.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Step four. Realize there's a tremendous difference between fear and danger.
Yeah. Danger is there's a problem. Right? You might be injured. You might be killed or whatever else. Fear is something that is within us. And people have the acronyms for fear and all those things, but fear's within us, especially in a situation like this. People say, I'm going to die if I have to go out in front of that group. No, you're not. You're just not. As another public speaking coach, Francis Cahill in Australia, said to me once, I've looked at a lot of death certificates and I've never seen one saying cause of death, public speaking. You're not going to die. If you have a heart attack while you're out there, okay. That was bad timing. For most of us, we're not going to die. And most of us feel that way when we're unprepared.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a big mistake.
Yeah. The one acronym that comes to mind is false evidence appearing real, right?
Yes.
Right. That's the one that comes to mind. I know there's a lot of them out there. All right. Step five. Remember that no matter what you do in life, people might judge you, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's 100% okay. I know people judge me when I'm up speaking. I know they judge me when I'm driving my car. I might drive it a little too fast. We get judged by people who want to judge us. There's nothing we can do about that. Wouldn't it be cool if it didn't happen? But it does. And Jay, I'll tell you a quick little story, a little anecdote about that. My great-grandmother up in Maine lived to be just shy of 100 years old, like a few days shy of 100 years old. So I was 18 when she died, and I got to know my great-grandmother, which is pretty cool. So when we would go up there, my family would go up there for family reunions, and these were huge reunions every 5 years. I had like 300 cousins because where they were in Maine, there was nothing else to do but make cousins. So you'd go up there, and my great-grandmother would take all her great-grandchildren aside at one point, say one line, turn around and leave. So when I was about 12 years old, she takes about 15 of us over into a corner, away from all the adults. And she says, and we're all 10, 12, 14 years old, if they look that close, slap their face. And then she turned around and left. And you could chase her down and say, what does that mean? And she'd never answer you. She'd give you one line and let you figure out what it meant to you. And as a 12-year-old, I'm thinking, I have no idea what that means. When I got a little older, I said, ooh, here's a country girl. I think she was talking to my female cousins. You're going to start getting in relationships around this age. If the boys get too close, too handsy, slap their face. When I got even older, what I took that to mean was, if someone judges me and criticizes me, not critiques me, I love being critiqued, but criticizes me, metaphorically, I'll slap their face.
Right.
Yeah. The heck with them.
Yeah.
You have to have some of that in you.
Yeah.
That I'm out here doing the best I can. Yeah. And truthfully, if you want to come up and give it a shot, good for you. But I'm out here doing the best I can.
Yeah, that's so true.
Now, if you go up there without rehearsing and try to wing it,
yeah,
well, maybe you deserve a little
criticism. Yeah, that's true. It's absolutely true. Step six, and it's the final step, weigh the differences. And I thought this was powerful.
Yeah, you do have to weigh differences. You know, it's funny. I'm trying to think exactly how I put what I wrote there.
The pros and cons of public speaking.
Yeah, well, and there's just that. If you don't speak, what happens? You sit comfortably.
Right.
You don't help anybody. But if you get up there and help people, then that goes a long way. Plus, you feel good.
Yeah.
You've helped people. So, again, you didn't win a lottery if you have the opportunity to stand in front of people. You earned that right.
Right.
And that's a right you want to embrace.
Yeah.
The thing is, knowing what you're doing, rehearsing, and then carrying it through to the best of your ability.
Beautiful. Talking to Peter George, by the way, bestselling author of the book, The Captivating Public Speaker. He's here with us. Peter, I'm going to go into the AMPD framework. A-M-P, apostrophe D framework. AMPD framework, because this is the crux of, I believe, everything after that. Now we build from here. What is AMPD?
AMPD are the initials of audience, message, presentation, and delivery.
Mm.
And when you break things down that way, you can concentrate on each and build a foundation. Jay, if you and I went out to build out in the street, out in front of your house, to build a house on the asphalt in the street, we could certainly do that. No foundation, just right there on the asphalt. We could certainly do that. 6 months later, it'll start to settle. We might not be able to close the doors, open the windows. Drywall start to crack. Pipes might even burst. But we could build it. And it would look great at the beginning. If we don't have a foundation to deliver a presentation, the same thing happens. We can be dressed up nicely. We can be in a great stage or a beautiful conference room. Everything can seem great. The cracks will start to show soon. Before you finish, there will be cracks. So you have to build that foundation. That's the A, the audience, because it's all about them. So that's where you have to start. And there are questions you want to answer. And I have in the book there 6 questions to be answered about that audience.
I want to dig into it. I don't want to just jump through this. I really do want to get into, because this audience Because chapter 5 I thought was so critical, because it's something I do, and you and I talk about it, which was research your audience, which I think is so critical. Can we talk there? Are you okay if we jump there?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about chapter 5, researching your audience, which is the A of AMPT.
Right.
You have first things first, and you say research your audience. Talk about researching your audience, the importance of it, and what we're talking about here.
Well, again, that's your foundation. Without that, nothing else matters. Might you give an awesome presentation without researching your audience? Maybe. And sometimes people will say, but it's the same audience every time. No, it's not. It might be a similar audience, but circumstances may change. The environment may change. If you're speaking about business, the economy may have changed, and their thoughts about the economy. They might be nervous now. Things have changed. No two audiences are alike. So research that particular audience. Who are they? Why are they there? Why whoever is holding the event, what do they want them to know? How do you want to make them feel? A lot of people don't take that into consideration. This is the information I'm going to give them. This is going to benefit. Great. How do you want that audience to feel? That matters. What do they want to know? What do they need to know? But also, what do they want to know? I equate it to this. Jay, who's your favorite musician?
Oh, I would say, all time, I would say Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Ah, awesome. Clapton's my favorite.
Okay. We're in the same genre.
Right, two great guitarists. So, you, back when Stevie Ray was still alive, you're going to see Stevie Ray, and you plop down the exorbitant amount of money these guys ask at concerts, and you're psyched, and you go, oh, I can't wait till he plays this song, and right, this song, and this song. Yet he plays none of those. He just plays the new music, so he wants you to go buy, which is the right thing to do, go buy the new music. That's how these guys make money. But none of the old songs. Wouldn't you leave a little disappointed?
This actually happened to me with an artist I won't name that we spent a lot of money to go see. And he spent all of the 2+ hours of the show doing nothing but new music.
How was that experience?
That was awful. My wife and her friend left because they didn't know a single song, and they were so jazzed about singing all the songs that they knew. Matter of fact, we were at the hotel room doing a little pre-party where we were singing all the old songs. We couldn't wait to hear him and see him live. He never did one of them.
Oh.
And my friend and I sat there because I said, I'm holding out. My friend's name is Mac. I told Mac, I said, I'm holding out. I know he's going to sing this one. I know he's going to sing this. He's got to. He never did. It was so disappointing.
Incredible. I saw Clapton in September, so just a few months ago, up in Boston. I'm in Rhode Island, so up in Boston. And it was the 31st concert I've ever seen of his. I was expecting him to play Layla.
Yeah.
The poor guy has been playing Layla for 51 years. I know he's sick of it. He knows he's sick of it. But he darn well better play it. And he did.
Oh, he did? Oh, yeah. See, yeah. Good for you.
You know, so, and some other songs you expect him to play.
Yeah.
He did. Going back to speakers, we not only have to give them what they need to know, and that's often what our bosses, when we have to do a presentation at work, tell us to give them this. They need to know this. But what are they going to want to know after you give them what they need to know? Because if you don't, it's going to be no different than your experience, Jay, with that particular musician who just gave you what he believed you need to know. There always has to be what you want to know.
Love that. His name is Peter George. Is he not great? I told you he was going to be that great, right? He's best-selling author of the book, The Captivating Public Speaker. Listen, you're listening to him right here on A New Direction. Folks, Epic Physical Therapy, my physical therapist, your physical therapist, I think they should be at least. Listen, they offer the most advanced top-of-the-line equipment, including the Alter-G anti-gravity treadmill, Normatec compression sleeves, my favorite, the Game Ready. That's ice and compression all at the same time. And listen, they're trained and certified in the most comprehensive cutting-edge treatments available, like blood flow restriction therapy, dry needling, cupping, and that's just a few, too. Listen, when you're ready for your epic relief, your epic recovery, your epic results, don't look any further. Look at EpicPT.com. That's EPICPT.com. And Linda Kraft Team Realtors for more than 37 years, helping people all over the world transition in their life. Because as we move from home to home, it's always a life transition. They want to help you with your life transition too. You know what? Why not just check them out? Because they can help anybody anywhere in the world because they're that well connected. And they are the legends of customer service. It's really easy. Just go to lindacraft.com. It's LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with my friend Peter George. I hope you're enjoying this on some level, Peter.
I'm having a blast.
God, I'm glad
you're a great host.
Thank you.
Hosting is not easy, and you're an awesome host.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. I appreciate you doing that. Let's jump into the M of AMPT, the message. What are we talking about here, the message?
The message is actually your point. So what point are you making? What's the crux of your talk? How is it going to affect them? What do you want them to understand? And I actually take that part of my book, I give a lot of credit because it's due him, to Joel Schwarzenberg.
He was on the show. I interviewed him on that book.
Awesome guy. Get to the point.
Great book.
Highly suggest people buy it. And Joel's point is, what is your point? It's not the topic. Let's say it's the Civil War, right? Peter, what are you talking about, the Civil War? Well, that's an awful lot. No, what are you trying to get across to people? Well, if you can say something like, I believe if the South won at Gettysburg, they would have won the war. Okay, that's the I believe test that Joel has. I believe we can do this. If that makes sense, it's a complete sentence, well, then you might have a point, that umbrella, that main point for your talk. So... but it has to make sense. It can't be, I believe the Civil War. No, I believe if the South won at Gettysburg, da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, is that relevant to this particular audience? That's the other question. It's got to be relevant, and they have to care that it's relevant. If you can satisfy those three things, and again, all the thanks to Joel, I've never heard anybody put it better, then now you have the umbrella, the main point for your talk that all other points, your talking points, are going to come under. All three talking points will now go to that main point.
Yeah, the I believe test and the so what test, right?
So what? Why do I care? Right? A lot of people, I'm sure, are listening now, why do I care that if they want to get this worthy? Unless you're a Civil War buff, no one would care.
Right, nobody cares. I love what you did underneath the main point is you have this subtitle of develop three, select one.
Yes. You know, so many of us go, oh, that's the one. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe it is. Why don't we try to think of some more?
right.
And weed out those that aren't quite as strong. It could be you have three, four, five great examples of what your point is. Let's find the most powerful that is relevant to that audience for that particular talk.
Yeah, I love that. That was so good because I think we do get so focused on the one that we think is the winner, and we don't do what you called, you know, basically the brain dump. You know, getting all the points out that maybe there's one that's a better alignment. Let's go to chapter 7, which is the P in the AMPT framework.
P is the actual presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is getting all your thoughts down on paper, your opening, your transitions, your first talking point, and it's three subpoints if you have them. Your second talking point, it's three subpoints. Your third talking point, it's three subpoints. Your transformation statement, your concluding transition, and then, of course, your conclusion. You do all those, you've got one solid presentation, whether it's 5 minutes long, or 90 minutes long, or 3 hours long.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about one of these, though, that it really is so important to people, and that is the opening. Talk about why that's so important.
it's you've got to get people's attention right away. Think of the movies that when it opens up, right? You go there, you drop $15 a person, you've got your popcorn, your soda, you're waiting, you go through all that stuff ahead of time. It's finally going to start. And then it starts. And then it says, a Paramount production with Joe Smith, producer. You know, Joan Brown, director. It's like, just start the movie. Then you have the movies, take it like a James Bond movie. It opens up with the action going. Or just maybe sometimes just before that. He might be speaking to a beautiful woman, but at some point he's going to get shot at and he's going to be skiing down a hill and end up in a car with another beautiful woman. And all during that time, or right after that time, down in the corner, they're saying a Paramount production with this producer and this director and this star and this star. They don't interrupt what's happening. Right. You got to get their attention right away.
Yeah.
Once you have their attention, then it's yours to lose. But if you never get it, it's an uphill battle to get it.
Yeah, you actually have in this chapter the do not say openings, which I can be honest, I have done this.
Most of us have. I have.
Yeah, I've done this, the do not says, like, thank you for the introduction.
Yep.
George, Peter, you know, yeah. Whatever, right?
Thanks for the introduction. It's a pleasure to be here, as opposed to what? I'd rather be home in my underwear. I'm not very, I apologize, I'm not very good at this. Oh, that's awesome ways to set them up for the next hour.
Oh, gosh.
You know, I didn't have time to rehearse, which means, Jay, you took time to drive here. You spent money to be here. You did all that, yet I didn't take time to rehearse. Not the way to start a presentation.
Yeah.
You've got 3 seconds. Some scientists say 30 seconds. Some say 3 seconds. I'll go with the 3 seconds because I'd rather be prepared for the shortest. You've got 3 seconds to get their attention.
Yeah.
Not their attention. You've got 3 seconds for them to decide at an unconscious level if they have confidence in you or not.
Yeah, there's some science here that says that we make a judgment in one three hundredths of a second. We make a judgment of people, and then they open their mouth, and then we can either confirm it or deny it.
Yeah.
And so how we open it, and I've made this mistake. I'll be the first to admit that, you know, I've said today I'd like to open talk about, you know, I've done that, you know. Probably because it's more of a filler than because I was really, really prepared with a great opening. And
exactly. Let me give you this analogy. You've read magazines, I'm sure, somewhere along your life.
Sure.
Magazine articles, newspaper articles,
sure.
Whatever. How many of them said at the beginning, the author of the article, right, I want to thank ABC Publications for the opportunity to write this for you in this edition?
None.
None. Yet we do it when we're speaking. We do it in no other instance.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know. All right, couple minutes here. Chapter 8, the D is for...
Delivery.
Yeah.
Delivery is a lot on the unconscious side. How we use our voice.
Right.
How we deliver it. How we use our body language. That has a lot to do with the unconscious communication we're having with our audiences. Are we standing up straight? Are we standing on one hip because we think it's more comfortable? You see people, and Jay, you'll just be able to tell by my shoulders when I stand on one hip.
Right.
And my neck now has to turn and everything else. And we go, well, that's more comfortable. No, it's not. 30 seconds later, you stand on the other hip. Unless you're a flamingo or a crane, you're not made to stand on one leg. So, and it's not as confident looking. It feels more comfortable because we're trying not to be overconfident. Stand up. Everything your mom said about being in front of people was right. Stand up straight, take your hands out of your pockets, put your weight on both legs, look people in the eye, and when you speak, speak with conviction and so people can hear you.
That's beautiful. Yeah, you've said so many things and you were kind of running close to time. The three R's of rehearsing.
R's, when you rehearse, record, review, and revise.
Okay. Yeah.
Review when you record and review it in three different ways. sound only, so face down so you can't see your phone. Just put your phone on record, record it, then sound only, then picture only, and then picture and sound. Make notes what you need to correct.
Awesome. You've been great. It's been an hour.
Pleasure to be here.
It's been an hour, and it's been so much fun. I've enjoyed so much having you here. Tell people how they can get a hold of you.
They can find out about me, my book, my services, all at petergeorgepublicspeaking.com.
Awesome. Peter, stay with me. Folks, that's the show. You know what I say to you every week, and that's this. You know what? You're in control of three things. You're in control of your attitude, your effort, and getting back up again. That's your resiliency. I know that life can be tough and that you can have a struggle, but I can tell you this. You are in control of those three things, your attitude, your effort, and your resiliency. Take advantage of that because it's life-changing. I'm going to be back next week with another great guest. It's going to be another great book, and that means it's going to be what? Another great show. You know what? Thank you. I know you had a lot of choices. You chose us. Give us a review. Tell people, you know, why you enjoyed the show. And you know what I say to you everywhere all over the world? And that's this. Ciao, everybody. Your dreams will take you places you have never been before. Find your passion, find your strength.